Here we go. Today I'm wrapping up the series, The Master's Plan, that I started about 4 weeks ago. And, you know, there's a lot of great principles that Christians pull from Scripture. We like to throw these things out there. And as I was looking at some of these, I thought about how often we like to throw these things out whenever there's something that we can gain from them, right? I'm going to read a couple of them here in a minute, and you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about because you've probably used some of these. I know I used one recently. And for a lot of people, they may not even be living these things out themselves, but by golly, they're a good thing to throw out for somebody else, right? How many of you still got the plank in your own eye and you're trying to pick the speck out of your brother's? I mean, we all do from time to time. We got these scriptures like, I know exactly what you need. I got this one for you. I don't even know what book, chapter, verse it is, but I'm pretty sure I can paraphrase it for you because you need it, right? Here's some examples, right? To save your life, you must lose it, right? To save your life, you want your life saved? Man, you got to lose it. You got to lay it down, right? Now, these are good things. I'm not saying that these concepts are bad. I'm saying a lot of times Christians like to throw these little darts out at other people. And maybe they need it for themselves. That's in Matthew chapter 16. To receive, you must first give. Right? And maybe you've used that one on somebody. Man, you're not receiving. It's because you're not giving enough. All right? Give a little more. If you want to be first, you must be last. I use this one a lot. It's usually in a joking manner. But if you want to be first, man, you got to be last. That's why I always try to get to the back of the line. Right? I like to be in the back. I want to be first. To be great, you must be a servant. Again, these are all good things. These are all truth. But man, are these good things for us to use for other people. These are great things for us to show other people. You need to be doing this. And so I want everybody to take note on some of this stuff and just think, how often do we quote some of these scriptures to other people? And then maybe compare that to how often do we actually quote these scriptures to ourselves? How often do we look at these scriptures and think, you know what? I need to lay down my life. You know what? I need to give more than I receive. You know what? I need to be last so I can be first. That's putting yourself or others before yourself. I need to be a servant if I want to be great in the kingdom. How often do we do these things? How often do we reflect on these? Because they all have one thing in common. They require us to be selfless. These things all require us to be selfless, to put God and others first. They all require us to serve. So how is it that serving is such a foundational principle for Christianity, but it's the thing that most churches are lacking the most, right? Even churches that have finances abundant, they can do anything they want, they still have issues with serving. They still have things. I went to Richard Crisco's church. They do 3 or 4 services a weekend. You know, it seats about 500. I went there, I was there for a Friday night, and he didn't have somebody to run the sound, or the media. He didn't have somebody to run the media. And I thought, man, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I can go to a church of this size and see they don't have it all either. They still are missing, you know, of the 700 or 800 people that regularly attend, they don't have somebody to run the media today. It's not just us. It's not just the church down the road. And this applies everywhere across the board. It's not just about us. It's not just about this church. But I'm just saying, in general, churches have a lack of people serving. And, you know, I even had somebody ask me why I repeated the same announcement several weeks. Obviously, nobody wants to do it because they're not stepping up. Well, I'll tell you how you get me to stop announcing it. Somebody do it. I'm just saying, if we have a need, and I've said it 4 weeks in a row, and you don't want to hear it anymore, then somebody needs to do it. And if they do, I will stop announcing it. Deal? All right? Let's make a deal. You step up and fill the spots, I will stop announcing them. That's a take it or leave it deal, because I'll just keep saying it, all right? But really, I mean, that's why we do it, because we need somebody to fill the spot. But the reason that I believe that a lot of churches have issues with serving in different areas, it's all about the motivation. It's all about the motivation behind serving. It's all about our motivation or our attitude. And people think things like this, okay? You can, you know, you don't have to raise your hand, but think about if you've said these things. I know that I have in the past. Why should I do it, right? Why should I be the one to do that, right? I already do enough. You start thinking about all the things that I do. Okay, I already do this and I do this, so maybe someone else should do that. It's time for someone else to step up. I don't have time for that. You know what? Maybe nobody else has time for it either. I didn't come here to serve. I came here to receive today. We think about a lot of these things, and what's the common thing in all those? What word was in every one of those statements? I. They're all about me. All about how does this affect me, my life? This is the problem with the motivation that we tend to have with serving. I'm going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It says this, it says, "For Christ's love compels us, since we have reached this conclusion. If one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised." See, it's Christ's love for us that compels us to live for him. Now, this word compel, as I was studying it, it means a really drastically different thing in the English language versus the root Greek word that they were using here. In the English, the word compel means to force or to subdue or to control. Right, that something compels you, it kind of forces you into or controls you or subdues you into doing something. And but this original word here is synecho, S-Y-N-E-C-H-O, synecho. And it means this, something drastically different, to hold together so that it doesn't fall to pieces. Or so something doesn't fall away. So it's saying that Christ's love, right, is something that doesn't control us, but rather it's what holds us together so that we don't fall to pieces. See, without his love, we fall apart. Right? Without his love, I as an individual will fall apart. Without his love, we as a body will completely fall apart. Without his love, we cannot properly live for him. Because without his love, we only desire to live for ourselves. We only desire to focus on me. How does this affect me? What can I do? Or I'm doing this, I'm doing that. The I's start coming out. Whenever you're saying I, listen, that's not the love of Christ. It's when we're saying him. All right? His love is the very basis for what we're doing right here together. His love is the basis for church. This is all about him. We're here to serve him. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. See, our motivation for serving has to be because he loves us. It's not even because we love him. We're not serving him because we love him. We're serving him because he first loved us. I think about my mom. You know, there's things that I would do for my mom that I would not do for you. I'm just saying. I'm being real. There's things I would do for her that I may not do for you. You know, she's done things for me that no one else in this room has done for me, right? She loves me unlike any other, okay? That's the way that it is. How many of you know that mothers do crazy things for their kids? Some of you can raise your hand and say, I've done crazy things for my kids. But they do that just because they love them. Okay, it's all because they love them. And the reason I would do anything for my mom is because she loves me. Because she loved me first. Because she sacrificed many things for me. And because she refrained from killing me when I was a child. That was probably one of the most difficult things she had to do. But it was because of her love for me, right? See, it's her love for me that gives me the desire to serve her, to do things for her. And I love her dearly. And there's things that I may not want to do something she wants me to do. You know, I have my own plans, especially as a kid. I had my own plans. I had my own agenda. I had my own things I wanted to do because you know what? I love myself too, right? I want to do the things that I want. But see, it was because of her love for me that compels me to want to serve her. If my mom calls me, I will drop almost anything that I'm doing to go and help her because she loves for me. In a sense, she gave up part of her life for me, right? Okay, so it's because of her love for me that I serve her. It's not because I love her. How much more should we be compelled to serve the one who literally actually gave his life for us, who died for us in our place? 2 Corinthians 5:15 said that he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for the one who died for them and was raised. Is your desire to serve him? Is your desire to serve him? Does the love that he has for you compel you to want to serve him? See, in this series, we started with the first step was to recognize him, seeing Jesus for who he is, seeing him as, man, he's Savior, he's Son of God. And realizing that, next it was to live for him. He died in our place, was raised from the dead, and so we too can die to sin and we can have new life in him. And then last week was to follow him. And if you remember, this was mostly about discipleship. Following him is to take on his mission, to continue in his work. And his work was and is to make disciples, to show people who he is, to walk alongside them, show them how to love God and to love people. And so today I'm talking about serving him. And we've had that come up a couple of times already today about serving God. And none of these people knew what I was preaching about today. How do we serve God with our lives? I mean, it's easy. We serve him with our lives. But we also have to remember, when we become one with him, we become part of his body. Right? We're no longer an individual. I'm saying that if you have been saved and redeemed, you are no longer your own, but you are his, and you are a part of his body. It's not optional, okay? His body is the church. His body is the church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, he put everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. See, when you're going to talk about the church, this is a great verse to start with, because it gives us a very, very clear picture of the order of the church. It gives us a very, very clear picture of who's in charge, because it tells us that Jesus was appointed as head over everything for the church. Everything for the church. It doesn't matter what it is. He is the chief, right? Him being the head means that he's the chief. He's the one having the authority. He's the one that is over the church. There is no one greater. There is no one smarter. No one above Jesus for any single matter concerning his church. No matter. It doesn't matter what it is. This is why we take the word of God as our supreme authority in the church, because Jesus is the word. John 1, verse 1 and 2, and then 14 is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then in verse 14 tells us, the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed his glory as the glory of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Man, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Is that not who we want to be in authority? Right? We want him to be in authority, and he has the right. He has the right to be in authority because he died for you and me, giving us hope, giving us a future, giving us new life that we should choose to live for him. And so we've got to remember, the church is the body of Christ. It's his. If you're not connected to him, right, you're not a part of the body. And if you're not a part of the body, then you're not a part of the church. And so I want to say, quickly, when I talk about church, you know, there's a universal church, and which a lot of times we refer to as the Big C church, and then there's the local body, the local church. This is us. This is the Methodist church. This is the Church of God, the Assembly of God, the St. Elmo Christian Church, right? These are the local bodies, and I believe these scriptures certainly can be applying to both here, but I'll mostly be referring to a local church, but you can apply them to both certainly. And I believe that our relationship with other churches is very important. It's very important. We are not it. Okay. You can take the model of the body and you can say that, you know, that somebody's a hand and somebody's a foot and somebody's a finger, you know, somebody's an elbow. You can do that with an individual body like this, but you can also do that with a full body. I mean, we may just be a foot, and the church down the road could be a hand, and we all have different roles and different purposes in our community as churches, just like we do as individuals in one church. And, you know, this weekend we saw some great unity in the body, in the cleaning here, everybody coming together and doing things that maybe they wouldn't normally do, but they needed to be done. We saw great things at the fundraiser with the Ministerial Alliance. I don't love those fundraisers because we usually do them when somebody has suffered some kind of tragic, you know, event like a fire in their life. But I love doing them because I love when we get together as churches and do something good for the name of Jesus. Okay, when I see that, you know, we brought salads and dressing, and thank you for that. It was an amazing blessing. We had churches bring desserts, and others bring spaghetti, and others bring bread and drinks and all these things, and we put that all together. We do our little part, they do their little part, they do their little part, and we have a full meal, right? And we're able to serve together. And I love being with those other pastors and other people from other churches. We have a great time. Man, don't you think for a minute that we didn't have fun yesterday in serving, because it was great. But that's a great representation of why the churches need each other, right? Think about if we were to just do that on our own, a spaghetti dinner for 200 people. That'd have been rough. Right? All the ladies say amen. Like I would have been sick yesterday. I would have been unavailable. That would have been tough. But we need each other. But keep in mind that it's all about Christ. Christ is the head of the church. So what is the church? And I've decided I'm going to stop saying that the church is all believers. I'm going to start saying the church is all Christ followers. The church is all Christ followers. Biblical church is not this building. This building is not a biblical church. In fact, when you look at church, you know, church started in Acts chapter 2 after Pentecost. This is where we see the beginning of the church. And if you look at what they did, man, they met anywhere that they could. Wherever they could gather people together, that's where they met. Okay, I picture these times like when the 3,000 were saved. The 3,000 were saved. Do you think that they started a home church and then they just kept packing people in? The people are like all plastered to the window. 3,000 people packed in? No. They're probably like, you know what? This isn't working. We got to go outside. We got more people are coming. Okay, let's go outside and just yell. They didn't even have microphones. Okay? But they met wherever they could. The church was added to daily. See, they'd have a salvation or adding to the church of 3,000 people. And then there was more people added daily. Man, how glorious would that be? How great would it be if daily we had more people come in here? I would love that. Praise the Lord if we could have more people daily. But they would meet wherever they could. The church was growing faster than what they could even keep up with in the book of Acts. They could, by the time they would lay out plans to build a building, it would already be too small, right? It wasn't about the building that they met in. A lot of times they even met in people's homes. The church is not a building. The church are God's people. The church is God's people. But hear me when I say that you individually are not the church. As an individual, I am not the church. I am a part of the church. I am a part of the body. Ephesians chapter 1, where it talks about church, where it says that Christ was head of the church. The Greek word is ekklesia, and maybe you've heard that before, but I'm going to tell you what that word means, because this might bring a whole new meaning to what you think church is. This means a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place. Now, can you be a part of the church and never leave your home? Under some circumstances, health reasons, if you can't get out, sure. But by and large, just because I don't want to go, because I want to sleep in, because I don't feel like I need other people, because I don't like that person. Listen, I got a word for somebody that's probably listening online. If your reason for not coming to church is because you don't like somebody that's here, then you don't have any idea what church is. You got no idea what church is. I tell you what, there's some of you that may not be here today because I'm preaching. Maybe if Ben was preaching, you'd be like, man, I'm excited to go to church today. It's not about who you like. It's about who you worship. It's about whose body are you a part of. You know what? If my hand decides that it doesn't like my knee, it can't just leave. You know, it can't just take off. It just, you know, maybe next time I get hit in the knee, maybe this hand won't reach down. It'll be like, the other one's got to do it. I ain't touching it. I don't like them. You know what? You don't have to like everybody. Don't sit by them. Don't talk to them. Talk to somebody else. But you got to be here to be part of the body. As an individual, you are not a part of the body. You got to be called out. You're being called out of your home and into a public place of worship. That is what it means to be a part of the body, an assembly for worship in a religious type meeting. Church is important. Man, we've got to understand, you know, I loved what Gwen shared earlier about needing finances means that we're alive. You realize that a church is a living organism? A church is a living organism. We're the body of Christ and we're connected to the head. We're connected to him. And you know, Christ is seated in power in heaven. But I'm telling you, the life of Christ is still being manifest on this earth through his body. We are living. We are alive. You know, that's why we talk about, man, I go on vacation, I look for a spirit-filled church. Why? Because I want a church that's alive. You know why I want a church that's alive? Because, man, I tell you what, if Jesus isn't in this, it ain't the church. I don't want to be here. All right? The church is supposed to be alive. The Holy Spirit lives in us, moves through us for the cause of Christ. Christ is the head, we as the hands and the feet. The Holy Spirit is the one leading us around. Man, we are a living organism. We've got to be alive. We've got to be stretching and reaching. We are his body, and the purpose of the body is to serve the head, to do the will and the commands of the head. See, this term head, you know, it means authority, as I said earlier, but there's something else that it also means. It also means the life source. The head is the life source. Each and every member of the body is connected to the head. He's the source. And if you consider a human body and how it operates, you know, the head, the brain, sends signals, right, through the nervous system. And that activates the different parts of the body. Now, these parts have no will on their own, right? A hand doesn't just do what it wants. The hands and the feet function in response to the brain, the head. If the hand could independently move and just do whatever it wanted, you know what you'd have? You'd have chaos in the body. It's true. If the hand could just completely disobey the will of the brain, the will of the head, and just do whatever it wanted all the time, you would have chaos in the body. I mean, what if my hands and feet just start doing whatever they wanted, and while I'm preaching to you talking about love, I just come over here and start like messing with Ben's face, taking off his glasses, picking his nose, right? What if my hands and feet just decide they're going to do whatever they want, regardless of what the brain is telling them to do? It would be total chaos. Nobody would sit in the front. Nobody sits in the front room now, just four or five people, but definitely no one would. Probably nobody would sit in two or three rows if the hands and feet just did whatever they wanted, because we would have chaos in the body. You know, it's not any different in the church. It's not any different in the church. As the body of Christ, we are here to serve the head. We are here to serve the head. Okay? We got to know what our function is. We got to know what he's calling us to do. We've got to exercise our function so that we can properly be this living organism that Christ has called us to be. 1 Corinthians 12 Verse 12 to 20 says, "For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so is Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into the body, into one body, whether Greeks or Jews, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' In spite of this, it still belongs to the body. You hear that? Even if it says I don't belong to the body, it still does. And if an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. In spite of this, it still belongs to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed each one of the parts in the body, listen to this, just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? Now there are many parts, yet one body. Listen, the fact of the matter is, church, that we need one another. You can like it or you can dislike it. It really is completely irrelevant because you're still part of the body and you still need each other. We still have to work together. We still have to help each other. And the only way that we are really going to do what God is calling us to do is for every person to do their part. For every person to do what God has gifted them to do. It's the only way. Paul tells us here, every part has a purpose. And have you ever questioned that? Has anybody ever questioned, do I really have a part? Do I really have a purpose? Am I just this worthless part of the body? You know, there are no worthless parts of our body, our physical body. Now, James, as a science teacher, maybe can find a way to disagree with this, but there are parts that you can live without, right? There are parts you can do without, but just because you could function without them doesn't mean that they weren't created for a purpose. It doesn't mean that things aren't better without them. Like, I think about things like, what do I need this hair on my knuckles for? I don't know, but God put it there. I must need it for something. Some scientists could probably tell me the real reason that it's there, but every part of your body you could live without. You can live without a gallbladder, and there's other organs you can live without, but your body functions differently, right? When it's taken out, something else has to say, okay, well, I'll help there. I can stretch myself and help cover that, and can you, like, I probably can only get halfway. Can you help me out? That's the way our physical body responds when it's missing something that God created to be there. So there are parts of the body that maybe you could do without. But what we've got to know is that whether we feel like we have a purpose in the church or not, a purpose in the body, God says that you do. Because just like with the physical body, he has put every part of the body just where he wants it. He has it all just how he wants it. And so for us to look at each other and think sometimes that because I can't contribute in a way that you can, I must not be as important. Listen, I'm going to tell you, don't ever belittle the gifts and the passions that God has put in you. Don't ever do that because God has placed those in you right where he wanted them, right where he desired for them to be. And these gifts and passions, listen, they're for serving him and for serving others through the church. We're one body with many parts. One body with many parts. You know, I've thought about, like, how many of you are really, really good at things with one hand and you're really bad at things with the other? I mean, I am like that. There is very little, like, now when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about, like, the key things that I do. There's very little that I think that I do with my left hand. I've told people, we've even had this conversation before, about how worthless my left hand is. Like, I could really almost do without this hand. There's not very much I can do with it. And then Channing said, yeah, me too, but I drive with my left hand. I was like, huh, so do I. I thought that hand was pretty much worthless. Like, it doesn't, like, the right hand is always doing something. It's always busy, and this left hand's just, like, hanging out over here, like, I might do something today, I might not, right? Like if I have any part of the body that's actually independent from the head, it might be this hand, because it just always chooses to do nothing, and it's not good at anything that it does do. But then I start to think about, man, as I was typing this sermon, you know how long it would have took me without this hand? It would have took a long time. I would have been typing like my dad, like, right? And some of you in this room, okay? But I could type a whole lot faster when I had both hands. How many of you have ever had an arm injury, like your arm in a sling? How long did it take you to put your pants on? Uh-huh. Long time. How long did it take you to put a shirt on? Long time. How long did it take you to tie your shoes? You probably had someone else do it, unless you were really good, right? It's not worthless. Just because it doesn't do all the things that are up in front, up in center, that everybody sees, the things that you do most often that are most recognized, doesn't mean that it's worthless. That's exactly the way the parts of the body of Christ are. Just because something's not always seen and not always done out in front of everybody else does not mean that it's worthless. We know that God has created every one of these parts just as he wanted. He's placed each one of you in this church body because this is right where he wants you. That means that there's something here for you to do. There's something here for you to do. There's somewhere that you fit in. There's some function waiting for you to do in serving him. Listen, this church needs you. Have you ever thought about that? I'm not saying in a boastful way, like, yeah, man, this church needs me. Listen, this church don't need me. I can't even speak right. That's not even proper English. This church doesn't need me. If I'm sick and I can't make it, you know what? It's still going to function. Ben will get up here and share something. Mark will get up here and share something. We may just like, they'll roll with it. Something will happen. We will still worship the Lord in this house, even if I can't be here, even if something happens. Listen, but I think, you know what? But this church does need me because there are things that God has put in me. There's giftings that he's given me that I need to share with people that need them. Now, yeah, it's easy for me to say that as a pastor, but you know what? The same applies to every one of you. The church needs people like Dave who will go and tell everybody that he runs into about this church. That we need that, right? We need people who commit to pray for us daily. We need people who will come up here, get up early and sacrifice their Sunday morning to practice for the worship team so that we can enter into worship. Man, we need each and every person here. And some of you may not know what that role is yet, but it doesn't mean that you're not needed. It doesn't mean that it's not important. It doesn't mean that it's not a critical function of the body. The church needs you. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 21 to 26, going on in that passage says, so the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. But even more, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker, see that seem to be weaker, it doesn't say they are. Those parts that seem to be weaker are necessary. And those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, see there again, we think they're less honorable, but they're not. We clothe those with great honor, and our unpresentable parts have better presentation, but our presentable parts have no need of clothing. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would all have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, then all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, then all members rejoice with it. Man, we are here to serve Jesus together. It's not about who has what role. It's not about what role is more important, because it's not about recognition from man. It's not about recognition from man. It's about serving a God who loves us. Again, it comes back to the motivation. The whole motivation is because he loves us. I serve God because he loves me. Listen, there's the reason I get up here and preach is not because I was naturally gifted at it. Go online and listen to sermons from 2013. They probably weren't very good. I hear from people regularly, and I do take this as a compliment, how much I've improved and how much better I've got at it. I take that as a compliment because, listen, there's nothing I hated in college more than public speaking. I was angry that I had to take that class. I didn't want any part of it. I did the bare minimum, whatever I had to do to get through it, didn't want anything to do with it. Okay, it's not a natural gift. Okay, it's something that I've been working on, I'm still working on. Praise the Lord that he's enabled me to get this far. Okay? But we have got to realize that it's not about recognition for man, from man. It's about because Christ loves us. That's got to be the motivation for serving. And I want to say there are no lesser roles when you're serving my God. When you're serving the God that I serve, there are no lesser roles. There are no unimportant roles. I'm going to tell you, I got a couple of things, and I'm not saying names because this is not about recognition from man, and these people want their rewards in heaven. We've got people that have signed up to clean the bathroom every month for, I don't even know how long, it's been like years. Every month, clean all the bathrooms and do an exceptional job. And again, I won't mention names, but I'm telling you, this person probably has a pile of heaven, pile of treasure that's twice as high as mine. I'm serious. Because the things that they do are done in secret. The things that they do are because, man, God loves me. I love this church and I want to do what I can to contribute. And that's why they do it. They don't want recognition. They don't care about recognition. And they don't get to get up here and have everybody look at them and what they do every week. It's not about recognition for men. We have other people who do many, many, many other things that are not seen, but we... Just going along with cleaning, we have other people that they wait and see what things are not signed up for on the list. They don't ever put their name on there. They're just basically always a backup for when a hole needs filled. They're like, okay, well, I'll go out there and clean. They don't ever get any recognition for it. And they're fine with that because they know that I'm just serving. I'm serving not just this church, but most importantly, I'm serving God because he loves me. See, God... He gives us these things to do, and just because something is not done in the open, it doesn't make it less important. We've got to realize that because not everybody is called to a platform ministry. Not everybody is called to preach. Not everybody's called to pray. Not everybody's called to be on the worship team. But I'm going to tell you, these roles up here would not be very important if there's nobody sitting out here. You know that? And there would be nobody sitting out there if this place wasn't taken care of, if all the roles we needed weren't taken care of. It takes the whole body coming together to do the functions. You know, whatever we are serving God with, that's what's important, that we're doing our part. And I'm almost wrapping up here, but 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, going on with that, he tells us that now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Okay, and God has placed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. Next, miracles. Then the gift of healing, helping, managing, various kinds of languages. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in other languages? Do all interpret? No. But I want to tell you something. This verse right here, this chunk... As a leader in the church, man, this assures me that God has given us every resource to accomplish everything that he wants us to do. I believe that with all my heart. I believe God has given us every resource to do everything that he wants us to do right now. Now, are there things coming down the road that we need more help for? We need more resources? Absolutely, because God gives us big vision. But everything we need to do right now, we have the resources to do those. That gives me great comfort. And I want to tell you that, you know, we don't have it all together, but together we have it all. Right? Together, when we can come together, man, we've got it all. We've got everything that we need as a body right here. We don't, I mean, where do you see recruiting other than Jesus appointing the first 12? He just went out and got them. When do you see recruiting through the Bible? No, God gave them what they needed for the working of the ministry. He gave them what they needed. And out of that, sure, more things were birthed. But the problem is that not everyone is serving Christ by being that functional part of the church that he's placed them here to be. You know, people come to to church for a number of reasons. And it's okay, whatever reason that we come to church, it's fine. The main thing is that we're here, first of all. But I'm going to tell you that this, what we're doing right now, this is not serving God. Like sitting in the pews listening to a message is not serving God. Hopefully, It's the word of God feeding your soul. Okay, but it's not serving. So if this is the extent, if this is the extent of what you do, if this is the limit of it, I come on Sunday and I sit in the pew and that's it, then you're not doing your part as the body. It's like that left hand that I got who's just always hanging out, right? He's always there. He's always in attendance, but sometimes he's not doing anything. Okay, but there are things that this left hand is meant to do, like drive a car. If I drove a car with my right hand, I would wreck. I think it would be that bad, okay? This thing is meant to drive the car. And thank God that he's there whenever it's time to drive. But if you're just sitting in the pews, you're not serving the Lord in the capacity that he's called you to do. And I hope you hear my heart in this, because it's all about, still, I want you to look at the motivation for serving. I don't want serving out of guilt. I want serving out of the motivation that, man, God loves me, gave his life for me, and he has things for me to do. It should be our desire to serve him. It should be our honor to serve him, to be that functional part of the body, right? Even attending Sunday school, even attending prayer meetings. These are not serving God, unless you're leading those things, if you're participating and putting them together. But we're called to be this functioning part of the body. And again, I hope it doesn't come off sounding harsh, but we've got to just understand that just simply because he loves us, his love for us should compel us to, man, God, I just want to serve you. I just want to do what you need me to do. Tell me what I can do to serve you, to serve your body, your church today. Because, you know, there's things that can be done here, like driving a van. Some of these I'm listing, we don't even have needs. I'm just saying, there's a lot of things that can be done, like driving a van or just riding in a van, checking off names, working in the media or the sound, cleaning, greeting people, helping with children's ministries, mowing the grass, changing light bulbs. Listen, there's a lot of things that can be done in this church to serve the Lord. There are entire ministries that I'm telling you that God has placed on my heart, and some of them have been since the beginning, for years, 2-3 years. I'm just waiting. I'm like, God, I know that you want me to do this. And it's part of me being the visionary for the church, is that I've got things that I want to do that I can see us doing, but we just can't yet. The pieces are not into place. And this may be where people need to step out and step up and be trained and grow. But what I'm saying here is that there are parts of the body that may not be functioning the way that he desires, and it's got to be compelled by his love. You know, when we serve the church, you're not serving me. You're not serving the elders or the deacons or the person sitting to your left and your right. Man, you're serving Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who has gave his life for us. Jason, if you'd come up. And what I want to say is this deserves our best. It deserves our best. I shared in the membership class how when I clean at the church, I do like a 500% better job than I do it at home. And I don't do a poor job at home. I do a pretty good job of cleaning. But when I clean at the church, man, I will do things that I would not do at home. Right? I'll get out the little dial thing, the little adapter that goes on the end and like do the cracks on the trim and stuff like that. I don't do that at home. I get it all covered. I'll vacuum the whole area, but I'm not getting out the attachment, doing all that. I want to give God my best. When I'm serving the Lord, I want to give him my best. And it's not just because I have a spotlight ministry. I'm going to tell you, if the spotlight is what you desire, we can give you a ministry to do that no one will see, except for him. Because that's the spotlight that we really desire. Isn't the spotlight that we really desire? One of my favorite songs on the radio is "I Don't Need My Name in Lights, I'm Famous in My Father's Eyes." You know that? Man, if we could just have a heart like that, just because God loves me, just because he loves me, I want to serve him. I want to be in his spotlight. I don't care about the spotlight of man. I don't need recognition from man, but I want to know that I'm pleasing the Lord with what I'm doing. I want to know that I'm doing what he's called me to do. Father, your will be done. Your will be done. We see Jesus praying this even in the garden when he's like, and he didn't want to go to the cross. He said, if this cup can pass, please let it. But nonetheless, your will be done. It's your will for my life that I want, that I desire. Galatians 2:20, no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, it's not just that he gave himself for us, but it's that he loves us, right? He loves us. That's the basis of it all. If you would stand with me. You know, I'm going to tell you that today we are in a season where we have clearly in prayer time heard the Lord say, what do you want ministry wise as a church? What do you want? Man, how many of you would love to wake up in the morning and for God just to say, Lacey, what do you want? Would you love that if God woke you up in the morning and just said, just name it. What do you want? Tell me. You're in a season where I'm ready to pour out whatever you want. TJ, what do you want? Would you love that if God just asked you, what do you want? Like, just lay it out there. I'm telling you, as a church body, the Lord is asking, Freedom Reigns in Christ Church, what do you want? Not for you as an individual, but for your church, what do you want? Because he's ready to give it. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that he will give us the desires of our heart. But it takes people stepping up to do his will, not our own. And there may be things that we like to do that we just can't do. But instead, we got to do what he desires. So do you recognize him today? Do you live in him? Do you follow him? And are you serving him? Because I'm telling you that today is the day that we can say, yes, Lord, I will serve you because you love me. We can ask today, we can say, Jesus, what would you have me do? Or show me what gifts I have. Show me what gap I can fill. Not what I want to do, but Lord, what do you want me to do? And the famous last words, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. What if we could say that with honesty? What if we could say that with honesty to the Lord today? Ben, are you ready for if you say, here I am, Lord, send me, that he says, I want you to start cleaning the toilets? I am. Are you ready? If you say, Lord, send me, Jenna, and he tells you, start helping Bud mow the grass, he might do it. If we truly say, here I am, Lord, send me, use me where you desire, man, we've got to be ready to move. We've got to be ready to go because he's probably not going to give you what you've always been craving and desiring, if it's some kind of spotlight. But he'll put you in his. He'll put you in his. It's all about his love for us. If you would raise your hands in this place, Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word. Father, we thank you for the church. We thank you for this body that you have placed us in. Lord, that we as individuals, we are not the body, but thank you, Lord, that we are a part of the body. Lord, that we all have a purpose. We all have a function. And I pray right now, Lord, that you'd begin to reveal to us your giftings, your talents. For those who are lacking, those who are lacking vision or lacking direction, Lord, I pray that vision and direction would be given today, Lord. God, show us how we fit in to the body. Show us where we are to serve. And Lord, let us say with our whole heart today that, Lord, here I am, send me. Lord, let us be willing to go. Let us be willing to go where you send us. Let us be in complete abandon to you, complete surrender to your will, that we can say, Father, your will be done. Your will, not mine, but let yours be done. Lord, let it not be my will for this church and for what people do, but let it be your will that be done in the lives of each and every one of us, that we could serve as a living organism, as a functioning body, that we could bring glory to the head, that we could serve the head with honor just because you love us. We thank you and praise you, Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time I'm going to open up.